Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Good Friday, and welcome into Josh and Swain. Josh Ward's out here today. It is Eric Kane with VFL Vol for Life, Jason Swain. What's up, Jason?
Yo, what is up?
Got a question for you.
Okay, I think I have an answer.
What is better than one VFL?
Two VFLs. I thought that was going to be a dad joke, and I was really nervous.
Now, I know my place. I'm not going to try to be Josh Ward, nor does anybody want any more of those dad jokes. But the answer is two VFLs. We got Jason Swain, of course, and we got Kevin Simon, former Tennessee linebacker, Tennessee coach. What's up, Kevin?
Yeah. Good to be on the air with you guys. Looking forward to the next 3 hours.
It's going to be fun.
No doubt.
At least we hope. Hopefully it'll be enjoyable. It'll be something from noon until 3, and we're over here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram 225 Callahan Drive, just off the Callahan exit off I-75. You can visit online or come on over. It's at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.com. Jason, we got a lot going on, man. The tight ends coaching hire has been made. We're going to talk a little defense. Of course, Tennessee basketball. It's going to try to rebound from a disappointing outcome in Gainesville earlier this week, but a ranked showdown back at the Thompson Bowling Arena tomorrow with Auburn. We got 5 burning questions to get into. Got a couple of great guests. We've got a loaded show here.
No, absolutely. I mean, a lot of content to discuss today. You know, Tennessee football is king here in Knoxville, so let's not get it twisted. Let's not forget that. We understand it's basketball season. Got baseball season around the corner, but Tennessee football is king, and there's some news to discuss there with Tennessee making a coaching move with Alec Ablin, who was on staff already and now is moving into a on-the-field role. This is the third time that Josh Heupel has promoted from within. I don't think anyone's going to question Josh Heupel when it comes to offense and putting up points, but this is a hire that presents some questions, and I think the number one question is, can Alec Ablin recruit? And I truly believe this, and Case, I want to get your take on it. You've been in coaching staff meetings. You've been in recruiting meetings. I feel like if you can build relationships, if you can connect with people, regardless of if you've done it before, you can recruit. At least you should be able to recruit.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. At the end of the day, you know, recruiting is about – reputation and relationships, and when you're at a spot like the University of Tennessee, you have the right reputation. So now, can we build the right relationship? now Alec, he and I, with our staff lockers for a year in 2021, and he was my neighbor, just like me and you way back in the day.
So
Alec's a great guy. I remember when he came from over from Ole Miss. He has a great way about him. He's an effective communicator. And he's a guy that's personable and easy to talk to. And those are things that are going to play well in any recruit's room. the other thing, he's passionate about the game. The thing I'll say about Alec is that he spent the past 2 years underneath Ellerbe. Ellerbe is one of the most unheralded components of what makes us go. I mean, he's really – one of the better offensive line coaches I've ever been around. I mean, guys, just think about it. So before he arrived, for whatever reason, previously, a lot of times our offensive line, they just seemed out of sync at times. Mm-hmm. They weren't always on the same page. And even after we lost Trey Smith, the offensive line played better with under Ellerbe's direction. Well, Alec's been in his room every step of the way. You know, there's multiple times I've seen Alec take guys out, working extra you know, on the field, indoor, with the offensive linemen, you know, him speaking the same language as the staff with Ellerbe, that's going to play well. But I don't have an issue with him recruiting. And it's a hell of a lot easier to recruit when you have a positive project, a positive quality project, a quality product to sell in the Tennessee offense. So, happy for Alec, and I think things will go well.
You know, for so long, I mean, Heupel just finished his second season here in Tennessee as head coach, but you came in that January 2021, and you're already behind the eight ball and trying to recruit that next cycle of guys, and you're saying, hey, this is what we want to do. And then you played the season, and you saw a good offense. You saw a 180 and all that, and you said, okay, you see it a little bit, but we got another gear we're going to get to, and then the defense is going to come around, and then the wins are going to come, and you saw that this past season, so I completely agree with you that when you have a product that is fun, that's a winning product, it's a whole lot easier to recruit. So the recruiting aspect or the lack thereof and the experience for Alec Ablin, that doesn't bother you. Jason, what do you say? You said it a moment ago about no one's questioning the internal promotions from Josh Heupel, but I also think this has to do with, I mean, he's got an offense that he, you know, isn't going to let – he's not going to show it just to anybody, right? And this is a guy that's been with him. He coached him at Missouri. He coached with him at UCF. He's been here for two seasons. He's a guy that obviously knows the system in and out.
I think you make a really good point, Eric. You said that Heupel just not going to show his offense to anyone. I mean, Heupel, I mean, he's treating his offense like the KFC recipe. Like, you know, it is – locked down. So,
secret ingredient. No one's just going to see it, right?
Exactly. And we know that, you know, Josh Heupel didn't come up with his offense all by himself. He's picked things up here and there from different people that he's been around and made it his own. But you do have to be very careful about who you allow to know all the secrets, because in Heupel's first 2 years, he's been giving defenses fits. He's given the best coach in college football history, arguably, fits in Nick Saban. So you don't just want anyone to be able to come here, figure out the offense, and then leave, and then everyone is doing it. So I think the promotions from within, the last three, I think that has something to do with it. Also, the staff chemistry is very, very important. As a Tennessee fan, we've seen many times where assistant coaches wasn't vibing with the head coach, and we saw it play out on the football field. Kay Simon was talking about Alec Ablin working with Glenn Ellerbe. Well, you know his background as an offensive lineman there at Missouri. And for those who are saying, what does that mean he can coach tight ends? I mean, does that mean he can coach tight ends? Well, yes, because it's kind of an extension of offensive line play. Let's be honest, Kevin Simon, tight end is not the hardest position to coach. Usually when you have a new upcoming coach, you put him at tight ends. Mm-hmm. We saw that with Brian Niedermeyer.
A couple other Tennessee coaches recently.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not the hardest position to coach. I think one of the other questions will be, all right, how does he maintain his room? I mean, he's been in the room, but now he has his own room. How does he hold guys accountable, going to class, not doing the right things? Will he be respected by his players? I mean, he has a player in his room right now that's – the same age as him and Jacob Warren. So it's now a new transition for Ablin, because he has his own room. What's his coaching style going to be? Is he going to be the laid-back guy, or is he going to be, you know, kind of the hammer on guys and a disciplinarian? I mean, he'll figure out his own style. If not, he probably already has it figured out. But a lot of questions, and they're fair questions. But, hey, man, congratulations on the promotion. Mm-hmm. Earning the trust of Josh Heupel is a huge accomplishment. And, man, he's about to get paid a little bit more. So, congratulations.
Yeah, so just to piggyback off what you're saying, Jason, really everybody has a coach within their own personality, right? We think about some of the different styles from a Tony Dungy, right, who's more like that father figure type. Never going to yell, you know, yeah. Never going to spank me, but I don't want to disappoint him.
Yeah.
To the fiery Nick Saban type, which is, you know, I think something happened on the – guy touched a punt. We got it back this past game, and, you know, you can kind of see what Nick Saban was saying. What the hell? What are we doing? You know, right? Everybody has to find their own personality, but or has a coach within their own personality. But one of the reasons why you put a young guy with the tight ends is just because, from a management perspective, not nearly as many guys to manage. You know, we're going to have about five or six guys in the room, at the top, you know, you only have two tight ends on the field. So it's a little bit easier for you to manage while you find yourself and while you, you'll really work on mastering your craft. now, Jason, you were talking about, you know, it's the secret sauce of this offense, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and why, you know, Coach Heupel, you know, is promoting for guys from within, whether it's, you know, Joey Hazel, you know, from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator, or Kelsey Pope from offensive analyst to wide receivers coach, and now Alec Hamlin, you know, from offensive line analyst to tight ends coach. You know, it's almost like some of my favorite movies of all time. You know, The Godfather, Goodfellas, Casino, right? It's, hey, Cosa Nostra, right? It's this thing of ours, right? You know, so we're going to keep it close. So, so yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from. Jason, I'm picking up what you're putting down, brother.
Tennessee has a tight ends coach finally after, well, it's been about a month and a half or so, and Alex Golish announced that he was going to take over the head coaching job at USF. And his name is Alec Ablin, a Tennessee analyst the past two seasons, former Missouri football player, but has been with Josh Heupel for quite some time, getting the promotion up to tight ends coach for the University of Tennessee. We're going to continue to break down this hire, and I do want to ask both you guys this when we come back. It might be a good opportunity for him because of the position, the small numbers and all that, but the tight end position in this offense is so critical. So the challenge is ahead for Alec Ablin in that regard, that and a whole lot more. We got Barrett Sleet coming up at 12:30. Fat Jack is going to join us at 2:30. Got the face-off coming up at the end of hour number one. A loaded show here on Josh and Swain as we broadcast live from North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, 225 Callahan Drive, just off Callahan exit of I-75. We'll be back in a moment here on Josh and Swain, 99.1, the sports animal. Welcome back into Josh and Swain. Over here in North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Come on and see us. We're going to be here until 3 o'clock today. I'm Eric Kane here for Josh Ward. We got Jason Swain and Kevin Simon to VFL Party, minus myself, of course. And we're going over the hiring of tight ends coach Alec Ablin. And the question I wanted to ask you guys, because obviously you're around it, and we all see how important the tight end position is in this offense. With the background of being an offensive lineman, of course, being around Glenn Eller, being coaching the offensive line and all that here at Tennessee and helping out. Kevin, how is that transition going to be to coaching the tight ends? Because these tight ends, as we all know, they're H-backs. They're split out wide. They're in the slot. They're on the line. They have to stay on the field in order for Tennessee to go tempo and not allow the defense to sub. And you really need to have three of them. Tennessee's gotten by the last 2 years with two. It's going to be quite a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, the way that our game's evolved, it's a game of speed and space now, right? We're throwing the football a little bit more than ever. That's something that our offense takes advantage of, you know, more than any other in the country, right? Other than the offenses that run the same system, like the Ole Misses and Arkansas, which will now be TCU with Kendall Bryan, you know, going down there. But he has to be a diverse guy with a diverse skill set. He has to be able to block in the C area or block bigger bodies than him oftentimes with the defensive line, but also needs to be able to flex out and be able to win in the slot, you know, running routes against safeties or linebackers. So there's a lot there's a lot of roles that guy has to accomplish or execute, but it almost ends up being the jack of all trades, master of none. I think the most important is what he has to do in the run game and also on pass protection, working in conjunction with the offensive line. And that's why oftentimes we will see an offensive line coach get put with the tight ends, because he can learn the passing game. Mm-hmm. We can teach him how to run routes, how to drop his weight, how to separate at the top, plant, break, separate, right? That's oftentimes the cadence of what we're telling guys as they're running routes. But the nuances of how to be able to come out your hips, Fit your arms with your thumbs to the sky.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
A tight hand so you can latch on to sustain guys. You know, we had a great tight ends coach with the Cowboys, And what, one thing that he used to say is, as you guys are evaluating some of these college guys and projecting to the NFL, hey, forget the style points. It may not always look great. It might be ugly production.
No.
But is he keeping the defender off the ball? That's all we care about. So so I think in Alex's situation, you know, just him understanding the buzzwords and the symmetry between the coaching points, working with Glenn Ellerbe, it's going to be a seamless transition to help those guys in terms of when they're running zone or stretch, or zone cut is a run that really they're looking to run it in the C gap, or it'll wrap back around off the tight end. So I think between there and pass protection, you know, those things will be seamless transitions, for Alec Amlin as he gets himself ingrained in the position and ingrained in the tight end room.
You lose one very productive tight end, a Princeton fan. He was playing in the Shrine Bowl last night, actually. But you do bring back Jacob Warren. And Jacob Warren's a guy that's been here, I mean, you know, he's probably as old as Alec Amlin is, as you guys made the joke earlier. But, I mean, he's had a couple of different tight ends coaches throughout his time, Jason. How important is it, I mean, at least for Tennessee overall, but also for Alec Amlin to have a guy, a fifth, sixth-year guy, whatever he is, and Jacob Warren to be there to lead that group and obviously know exactly what that position is and to kind of help with the transition?
I think it's very important for a new coach, as he is kind of finding his footing of what kind of coach he wants to be while he has his own room. It's very important that you have a guy like a Jacob Warren that can help a transfer like McCollin Castles, who's coming in. He's on a new system, a new way of doing things. And then you have talented Ethan Davis, you know, coming in. And so you have a experienced player that's new to the system, and then you have an inexperienced player that's new to the system. And so very important for Jacob Warren. I'm not going to sit here and call him, you know, a coach on the football field, but, yeah, he's an extension of first-year coach Alec Amlin. And this is going to be a big spring for these tight ends, because you got a lot of receivers in Brew McCoy, who played well last year. Romel Keaton did more than what people expected. You have a Chaz Nimrod, who did not play last year, that is fast on the outside, had an injury. This is going to be a very important spring for him. You have Caleb Webb, that many people feel like he's an NFL guy. Like, he was young, didn't play last year, but he's an NFL guy when it's all said and done. And then you brought in a Dante Thornton, who is 6'5", who can run. You have a Nathan Laycock that did his thing during bowl practices, and people were kind of raising their eyebrows going, okay, yeah, all right. And then on three comes out with their final rankings, and Laycock is a higher-rated player than, you know, Ohio State receiver signee that they got that people thought was all-world in Calvin Tate. And then you got Squirrel White. So let's just think about this, guys. Just think about this. You got a bunch of receivers that they're trying to play. And when you look at the best set for a wide receiver to be able to go out there and play, it's your four wide sets, it's your five wide sets. Now, the five wide sets put a lot of pressure on your offensive line because you got one-on-one blocks. But, like, if I'm a receiver in this group, I want us to be in four wides as much as possible. This is a perfect opportunity for wide receivers because you do have a first-year coach at tight end. And you do have a lot of tight ends that don't have experience. If I'm Jacob Warren, whew, you got to fight to not have four wides. But this is a good opportunity, I think, for the wide receivers to get more guys on the football field. And we know we don't substitute a lot because of the tempo.
Yeah, I mean, that's a conversation, Kevin, I feel like we've all had going into last year and going into this past season for sure. And we heard comments from Alex Golish at times and you know, Kelsey Pope saying that they have some receivers ready to roll. They feel good about five, six guys or whatever. But you get there on Saturdays, they play three guys for 85 plays, you know, and it's just kind of – it kind of is what it is. Now, I remember back in 2021, they went four wide a little bit at a time as well. And, of course, that had the opportunity for Jalin Hyatt to get out there. Mm-hmm. You didn't see that often this past season. If I'm Jacob Warren, I'm getting in shape because no matter what – is done in practice, I feel like, or no matter what anybody says, it feels like they're just going to stick with three wide receivers. They're going to have a tight end out there. Regardless, Jacob Warren's going to have to be in shape. He's going to have to help out. But that tight end room overall, you have two guys who are going to be out of eligibility, and Jacob Warren and McCallum Castles, who's coming in from UC Davis. Mm-hmm. You have a young guy in Ethan Davis coming up that, you know, looks really, really good, but, of course, he has to adapt. This room is going to have to reset after next year. So I think it's a good opportunity for Ablin this season to take advantage of that, you know, what he has, because he does have some good stuff in there, but also knowing that he can truly restart that group next year with Ethan Davis.
Yeah, I mean, the rock in the room is Jacob Warren.
Yeah,
right. Yep. I mean, he's father time, right? You know, they might as well call him Unc, because it seems like he's been here forever, as Jason was saying earlier. you know, 11 personnel and the personnel groupings, just for everyone out there, so we're all speaking the same language. 11 personnel, so there's always five eligible receivers on the field. So the first number is the number of backs on the field, so that's one running back, right? One tight end. So you know if there's one running back, one tight end, then there's going to be three receivers. And 11 personnel is the most run personnel grouping in the NFL. I want to say about it was 61% of the time when I was a pro scout 2017. I'm sure that number is like 68% now.
Yeah.
But it's also one of the most run offensive personnel groupings in college football. And it's what we ran at Tennessee more than anything else, was 11 personnel. So having Jacob Warren back in that role, because when they're going six-man protection or seven-man protection with the tight end and the running back, three-receiver route, you know, a lot of time that's Jacob who's going to be in the game in those situations. You know, you really had Jacob as the traditional on-the-ball Y, and you had Princeton Fant as the HF flex out. And Jacob will flex out some, but their roles and how they – the plays changed, you know, when Jacob Warren was in the game versus Princeton Fant. You know, that's going to remain the same this year with Jacob Warren, right? And now they got to find somebody, whether it's my guy from UC Davis or my young guy that's coming up from Georgia. We're going to have to find someone to take the role that Princeton Fant served here. But the one thing that Alec has going for him, just because being around Jacob Warren, he really is a coach on the field.
Yep.
And he's a guy that's capable of doing whatever he wants to do. Like, his future is bright, with or without football. And but he's a guy that if he wanted to stay in football, hey, man, hey, please, hey, hang around a while. Because he has all the right stuff to him. He's a great mentor. He's great about putting his arms around guys, getting them going. And he knows the scheme like a coach. So to have a guy in the room carrying the torch, like, he's the standard for everything we want to do. Right? All right, hey, you guys want to know how to do this? Watch Jake.
Yeah, for real.
You know, it's great to have an example in the room of everything we want to be at the tight end position.
You know, he could, if he wants to stay in football, he could. We're not advocating here for it, but I think it'd be a good career choice if that's what he chooses. If he wants to stay in football, he's pretty much mirroring who his new position coach is now, Alec Ablin. Now, Missouri offensive lineman, last 2 years spent time with Heupels, there's OC and Glenn Ellerbe as well. Stayed on in Missouri as a GA, went to UCF as a GA, went to Ole Miss as an analyst with Jeff Levy, and then came back here.
You know, and one thing I want to say, so the way Heupel is promoting guys from within, honestly, that's the way it should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
If a guy has done everything you asked him to do and more, turned over every single stone, anytime you handed responsibility in his direction, he yum, 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 ate it all up.
Yep.
And did a great job with it. Hey, put those guys on. You know, give them an opportunity, right? And that's what he's done. You know, honestly, that's how it should be.
Yeah. And Josh Heupel's done it. He's done it with Kelsey Pope. He's done it with Joey Halsley. And now he's doing it with Alec Ablin. We'll talk more on the promotion of Tennessee offensive analyst Alec Ablin now to tight ends coach as the show goes on. We're on the air now from now until 3 o'clock. We got CBS Sports' Barrett Salee coming up next as you listen to Josh and Swain broadcasting live from North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain here on this Friday afternoon. Welcome into it. I'm Eric Kane in here for Josh Ward on a Friday, the VFL Jason Swain, and Kevin Simon along with me here today as we are at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Come on by and see us until 3 o'clock, 225 Callahan Drive, just off the Callahan exit off I-75. And if you don't make it out over here today, you can always shop online at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. NFLPA.com. We're talking a full bank of questions and a little bit of hoops today, but mostly football is the conversation. And so we welcome on the show the Friday guest, Barrett Salee of CBS Sports. Barrett, what's up, man?
Oh, not a whole lot, guys. How are y'all?
Doing well. I want to get your thoughts on the promotion of analyst turned tight ends coach for Tennessee, Alec Ablin.
Well, it's all about continuity, right? Like that's one something that Josh Heupel needs. I think when you're trying to maintain the status quo, maintaining the status quo is a good thing, and hiring from within will help Tennessee, you know, manage coordinator loss, will manage quarterback loss. And so, you know, I'm fine with it. I think that, you know, when you look at Tennessee, Josh Heupel still has such a, you know, big part of that, you know, so I don't necessarily think it's anything that can be, you know, really criticized one way or the other, because, you know, if you're going to criticize Tennessee, you criticize Josh first. And if you praise Tennessee, you praise Josh first. So, but I think in terms of continuity, after what happened last year and the success they had, it makes total sense to promote from within.
When I think about the promotion from within, Bear, I think about what Clemson has been able to do for a very, very long time. I mean, this is Tennessee's third promotion from within for Josh Heupel. You know, Dabo did it a lot at Clemson. Just recently, he kind of bit him in the butt with Brandon Streeter. But Wes Goodwin was a guy that was also promoted from within. And I think part of it, I want to get your take on this, is, man, Heupel has an offense that I'm sure a lot of people would love to learn about and be able to do and implement themselves. It's kind of like the special recipe. What would you say about, you know, that take that Heupel wants to promote from within to make sure that outsiders don't come in and pick up little secrets about his offense?
Well, I think it's definitely a good point. You can kind of go back and look at Clemson when Clemson hired Chad Morris. That was essentially the start of what Clemson became. And so, yeah, I think there are two things with that. One, I think it's fine, and I think your point's great in terms of success and continuity. The problem is if things go south, you have to make an adjustment. And I think Dabo was a year too late on that. And so by going out and getting Garrett Riley, he's the first outside coordinator hire since Chad Morris in 2011. So, you know, I think for Dabo, you know, he waited too long to change that mindset. That's one thing that Josh and I think any coach that does tend to promote from within has to look out for. You can't be loyal to a fault. And since Tennessee was successful last year in offense, there's no reason to think that it would be anything different. Now, though, if things go backwards this year, now part of that might be without Hendon Hooker and things like that, but if play calling begins to struggle, then I think if you're Josh Heupel, you have to make decisions on your philosophy quicker than Dabo did, because that is ultimately what has prevented Clemson from getting into the mix over the last couple of years.
Barrett, the Reese's Senior Bowl, it's been happening all week long in terms of practices and meetings and all that type of stuff. The game's going to be tomorrow. A couple of Tennessee Volunteers are down there in Mobile, and Darnell Wright, who looks like he's had a really, really good week, and you know, people are starting to like and kind of mention him in terms of French first rounder. Of course, you have Byron Young, the edge rusher, and then quarterback Hendon Hooker, who can't play in the game, can't practice, but still making the most of that experience and connections and meeting with coaches. How do you think it looks for Hooker and some of these other Vols who were down in Mobile this week?
Well, I saw Hooker, I guess it was Tuesday at practice. Or, you know, I'm not there, but they broadcast the practices. I think it was on Tuesday that I saw him behind the offense, essentially calling out plays. And he did have a quick interview with Clint Kesmick out there, too.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
But, you know, it seemed like he was not only, you know, going through the motions of learning what NFL verbiage is like, but that he was, you know, I hate the word mental reps, but he was really interested and really focused on what the offense was doing, because he didn't really give a Hendon Hooker type interview to Quint when he interviewed him, which, you know, I think is a good sign. And I think for, you know, in terms of what he should be or could be, the knee injury is nothing to me. It's, you know, everything, I'm sure you guys have heard more than I have, but it doesn't sound like there's much to worry about. I just, if you're going to take Will Levis or Anthony Richardson over Hendon Hooker, you're insane. Like, I think that's the one thing that would hurt him more than anything else. It's not necessarily how he's, you know, approaching his interviews and things like that, but it's the fact that, you know, he can't show just how good he is on that kind of stage. From a physical standpoint, he should be fine, but, man, he is one guy who could really take advantage of this situation and pro days, and he's not going to be able to do it, which is really unfortunate, because I think that, with what he's capable of, and you guys saw it as well, he should jump and earn way more respect than he's getting right now.
And speaking of respect, how do you feel about the disrespect? The guy can't even get an invite to the Heisman Trophy ceremony after the season that he had in the top tier division in college football. Just your thoughts on that.
Well, I think two things were at play. One, we only get three votes. He was number three on mine, but we only get three votes. And two, a lot of people who vote for the Heisman Trophy are casual sports fans. They don't pay attention on an hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute basis. So when Hendon got hurt against South Carolina, it was, I think, a narrative developed among people who don't pay attention. And it's like, oh, well, you know, he was the problem. No, he wasn't the problem. But then there's also out of sight, out of mind, because, you know, I would say Max Duggan got the invite because of what he did on championship weekend. Even though they lost to Kansas State, his ability to essentially put that team on his shoulders and do that in a game where everybody's watching because it's championship weekend. So I think it's unfortunate that Hendon didn't get invited. I think that it's another example of maybe the Heisman Trust needing to pare down the votes and maybe do more in terms of being hands-on, because right now the way that people go about voting and the way people get their votes and keep their votes is not something that really is streamlined nor helpful to the prestige that the award carries.
Notre Dame's offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese, said no to Brian Kelly when Brian Kelly wanted him to go to LSU with him because he wanted to stay at Notre Dame. He stayed for 1 year before he's looking around. Alabama's targeting him. What does that say to you about Tommy Reese and the Notre Dame job itself there with their head coach, and then him possibly being the offense coordinator for Nick Saban, which we know is not an easy job to do, working with Nick Saban?
No, it's not. I think following Brian Kelly, you know, to me, I think that suggests, and I think it kind of bared out this year, that he wasn't going to have full control of the offense. And I think he did have more of that this year. But losing Tyler Buckner in week two, you know, hurts everybody. You go back and look, though, at his career at Notre Dame, but prior to this year, he didn't finish with less than 6 yards per play at any point, and most years it was significantly higher than that. So, you know, I think his success there is certainly attractive, and it is, he has been successful. Recency bias should not be factored in. And then for Alabama, you know, you kind of, I think they want to go young and up and coming. Now, Ryan Grubb's a little older, but still up and coming, so to speak. And I think they wanted to get more creative. Bill O'Brien didn't necessarily use motion and eye candy all that much. You go back and watch Notre Dame, that's exactly what they do. And I think Nick Saban recognizes that, you know, he kind of got away from that because Steve Sarkisian did a lot of that before Bill O'Brien got there. And this might be a little bit more of a course correction if Tommy Reese does get that job. And from all accounts, it does seem like he is definitely the front runner at this point.
So reports have come out saying that that the Oklahoma and Texas desire to leave the Big 12 and join the SEC in 2024 are likely to be stifled. Just kind of tell us and our listeners a little bit about what you're hearing about that situation.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's all about money, right? Obviously the ESPN's getting, the SEC deal. And so that is something that they're happy with, but it's not the only issue at play. And if Texas and Oklahoma leave early, then the 2024 product that the Big 12 has is going to be severely diminished. And so I think they were trying to work around ways where Fox and ESPN could still be happy if Texas and Oklahoma leave prior to the 2024 season, because that's the last year that the current grant of rights exists. And the idea that was floated was that, okay, well, FCC teams could go play in the Big 12 footprint. That way, Fox and ESPN had the rights to those games because of its affiliation with the Big 12. Then the SEC and Big 12 teams looked around and said, whoa, wait a minute. All of our out-of-conference contracts with other teams would then have to be reworked. Is that a good idea? And if those contracts stay in place, then the strength of schedule changes. So there are a lot of hoops to jump through, and I think in the end of the day, TV partners are just like, screw it. Like, let's just go through this. The Big 12 is going to have 14 teams for 2 years. It's fine. I think it all came down to money and TV contracts and all that business, all the business side of things. And, I think in the end, the TV networks still get their teams. They still get their notoriety. And I think it was more Fox because, ESPN does have, the SEC deal, and, their value would be, increased with Texas and Oklahoma. But, man, that product without Texas and Oklahoma in 2024 would be pretty bad.
Barrett Salid, CBS Sports. Barrett, what you got coming up over the next couple of days?
Well, a lot of off-season stuff. It's list season. We're going to kind of approach the Super Bowl in a different direction in terms of how we cover from a college standpoint. But all of our NFL guys are either down in Mobile right now or are ready to go to the Super Bowl. So we have all that covered as well. So it's a little bit of everything, there's no doubt.
Always check out Barrett Salid's work over at CBSSports.com. Does an excellent job and joins Justin Swain every single Friday at 12:30. Barrett, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, y'all. See you.
All right, we got plenty more to get into, but the face-off is coming up next. Who is going to win between myself, Jason Swain, or Kevin Simon? Joel Silverberg will be the judge. That's coming up next right here on Justin Swain as we broadcast live from North Knoxville Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Justin Swain here from North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Come on out and see us today. We're here until 3 o'clock. They'll be here on into the evening. 225 Callahan Drive, just off the Callahan exit, I-75. They got awesome selections here for you here on a Friday, so come on by and see us. It is Jason Swain, VFL Kevin Simon. I'm Eric Gain here for Josh Ward today, and we're going to go toe-to-toe. Let's hit the face-off.
Do you want some? Come get some!
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you got to beat the man!
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
Joel, set us up here.
All right, guys, today is National Bubblegum Day. What should be the go-to bubblegum flavor?
Kevin, you want to lead us off here?
Man, I'm a cinnamon guy myself.
Okay.
Try it in. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Cinnamon, Jason Swain?
I'm going with mint. I think that should be the go-to flavor because those H's that come out the folks' mouth when they say, hey, how you doing? I think mint needs to be the number one answer, folks. Can't have funky breath out here in these streets.
I like mint as well. But
halitosis.
You go big. I'm going to give you a kind of gum as well. You go Big League Chew grape flavor.
Oh.
It's the goat. Nothing
yes.
can top it.
Hey, you're taking me back. You're taking me back.
It's the best.
Do cinnamon and mint bubble gum exist? Like, I know cinnamon and mint chewing gum exists.
Cinnamon definitely does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, cinnamon. Try it.
Tried it. Yeah.
Try it.
It's a chewing gum.
Yeah, no, it's a bubble gum too. Looked it up, Joe. Don't try to disqualify us. Don't even think about it.
I'm not trying to disqualify both of you. Just Swain. Yeah. What needs to happen for Tennessee to bounce back and win over Auburn tomorrow?
Yeah, I think just ball movement. You know, when watching our guys just out of sync with the offense at times, if they get a little ball movement going, I think it will get us back going.
Get the ball inside to Olivier early. Let's shoot the right open shots through inside-outside game. I think the ball sticking is something that we can't allow to happen. Be ready to run in transition. Auburn's going to shoot a lot of outside shots because they're very aggressive guards. So there's going to be a lot of long rebounds and opportunities to run. So got to make shots. That's the number one thing. But I think there's a lot of different ways you can help yourself make those shots. And that is getting the ball inside, man, playing inside out in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to add much to it. Don't shoot less than 30% from the field. And in fact, don't shoot less than 40% from the field. You can get by, but it's difficult when your defense isn't playing like it typically is. So make shots and don't have that offensive slump like you saw in your backcourt go 4 for 48 or whatever it was. It was horrible.
Be honest. Do you like Bruce Pearl?
I love Bruce Pearl. He's my guy. You know that Maya Angelou quote, you may forget what they said, you may forget what they did, but you'll never forget the way they made you feel. That's pretty much how it is when you meet Bruce Pearl. And for anybody that's ever met him or been around him, you know what I'm talking about. Love Bruce Pearl. I just don't like him tomorrow.
It's fair.
I personally like Bruce Pearl, but I also am aware of others who have had different experiences with Bruce Pearl who may not like Bruce Pearl. And I certainly respect their experience with Bruce Pearl. But personally, yes, I like Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, when he was here, I was in like middle school and high school. Eric Kane was angry mad. He was internet mad on Facebook when they let him go, when he got fired. I mean, I like him. I have no reason not to like him. I understand now that I'm older why he was fired. Can't go lying about barbecues now. But
come on, man.
I like Bruce Pearl. I have no issue with him.
Not tomorrow, though.
You were angry mad?
I was angry mad, and then I tried to make it better by saying internet
mad. As opposed to happy mad? You know, angry and mad are synonymous, right?
I do know that, Joel.
What was your initial reaction to former Tennessee wide receiver D'Angelo Gibbs transferring to South Carolina?
I'm sorry. I didn't know that he was still a thing.
He called me about a month ago and was asking, he was trying to get in touch with Chris Winkie down at Georgia Tech. He's just looking for an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, he's, hey, man, I'll help you any way I can. You know, he's a good dude, has a lot of raw talent, just needs to tap into it. But it seems like his heart and his passion is back in the plan. Man, I'm happy as hell to see him back in college football.
Serious question, though. I mean, how old is he? Because he was a part of, what, the 2017 class, I think?
I mean, he has to be at least 24.
Yeah. Whew. I mean, I don't wish anything on anybody. I hope he gets an opportunity. I'd be rooting for him. But I didn't know he was still a football player.
I hope he balls out. My initial reaction was, damn, when you going to transfer to Vanderbilt in South Carolina and play for the whole SEC East? Transfer from Georgia to Tennessee and Tennessee to South Carolina? Might as well play for everybody in the East, right? But I hope he balls out.
Are you watching the Senior Bowl tomorrow?
You know, guys, full disclosure, I am a football nerd. I've watched the Senior Bowl for the past 15 years since 2009. And I watched it a bunch of other years before that, so you can take the scout out of scouting, but you can't take the scout out of the scout. So I will be watching, hoping to see our guys Darnell White and do well.
Absolutely, watching the Senior Bowl. It's the premier college all-star game. We know that practice is the most important thing about the Senior Bowl and the interviews, but who's going to make plays when the lights are on? So absolutely, man, Senior Bowl is awesome. So definitely we'll be watching.
It's a great point, Swain. The Senior Bowl, the game is actually not the most important thing. It's the entire week. I think everybody knows that. But hey, hopefully it will be entertaining, seeing some great football, and 100% I will be watching it. But hey, it is also on at the same time as Tennessee and Auburn, so I have a little dual screen there, one on the computer, one on the television screen, but I'll be watching it as well.
If my math is correct, and it never is, D'Angelo Gibbs will be turning 26 this September.
Okay, right.
Wow. Born in 97, according to his profile on UTSports.com.
Again, if he's eligible, go for it, man.
Why not?
Play as long as you can, big dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stetson Bennett's like 48 and just won a second national championship. All right, Kevin gets the win.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. This was so unexpected, guys. I appreciate the love. Thank you.
I cheered hard for Kevin growing up, so I wasn't going to not pick him.
Oh, hey, my main man.
Number five on the field, number one in your heart.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, indeedy.
You shouldn't feel great about that, Kevin. I mean, yeah. He picked you because he's a fan, not because your answers are great.
Yeah.
That's okay. You got it done.
Hey, Jason, you did okay. You did okay, too.
It's the face-off every single day here at 1250. Get rid of aches and pains in a natural way with Dr. Jason and Alicia Bloom over at Marble City Chiropractic. Call 766-2081 to set up your one-on-one consultation today. Start living a better life designed over at Marble City Chiropractic. Brings the face-off to us every single day. All right, having fun here on Josh and Swain. We're going to be on the air for two more hours. Got plenty to get into. We got the Fat Jack of Fat Jack Sports Network joining us here later in hour number two. Going to break down Tennessee and Auburn coming up tomorrow, a little Senior Bowl, and continue the discussion on new Tennessee Titans coach Alec Ablin. That's what you have to look forward to here on Josh and Swain as we broadcast live from North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram over on 225 Callahan Drive, just off the exit, I-75. With Kevin Simon and Jason Swain, I am Eric Kane as you listen to 99.1, the Sports Animal.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.